Hey everybody, welcome to the Green Architects Lounge podcast. I'm your host, Chris Breiling.
And I'm your host, Phil Kaplan.
How you doing, Phil?
I'm doing great, Chris. We're also very excited to have Pat Kuhn.
Hey, Pat.
Welcome back.
Hey guys.
Welcome back to the studio.
You remember Pat from our a podcast or two ago.
Right. Solar Thermal podcast.
The Solar Thermal podcast.
Which was well received.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So thank you for your efforts.
Well receivedness.
Hopefully this one will be equally as good.
Or better,
I'm sure.
But I think
judging
this one,
by the drinks.
Mm. Oh yeah, yeah.
They might be.
What are these? And hey, by the way.
Yeah,
Phil, I'm glad you asked.
Very good segue. Go, Phil.
Yes. Today, I get the drink.
Yeah.
Chris and I are switching this time.
It's like Bizarro episode or whatever.
Phil's like backwards world.
Right. Phil's got the drink. Go, buddy.
And
what do you
Chris
got?
Has the music. Yeah. We are drinking Perfect Red Manhattans.
It's good.
Yeah. What do you think?
Really good. Yeah. I have to say, I usually think vermouth and bourbon have no business being together, but you have proven me wrong.
Ah, they're good friends, Chris.
I guess you just have to
introduce them properly.
I guess so. I guess, you know, tossing them together in a trash bag and shaking them around and chugging it with a bunch of friends is not... I've never really done that.
Yeah.
Mom, I've really never done that. Okay.
So can I tell you what's in it?
Please do.
All right. So the key ingredient to a perfect red is Red Stag. I don't know if you've heard of Red Stag, but it's a black cherry infused bourbon.
Oh, and it's good. You can taste it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it takes the usual cherry that sits in the typical Manhattan and gives it a little oomph.
Got it.
Yeah, so you add two parts of that, and you got half a part sweet vermouth, a half a part dry vermouth, and,
nice.
and a couple little dashes of
bitters.
Tasty bitters.
Nice.
Thank you, Chris.
I can taste that, yeah.
And summery, tasty. Yeah. And it does pack a punch.
It does. I was going
to
say,
we're not there yet. Take it easy, gentlemen.
Yeah. Pace ourselves.
But didn't our generation decide not to mix drinks? I mean, I thought we figured that out, that we were going to be more like beer. Maybe a little wine.
I think that's all changing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, like I heard in Germany, it's not, beer is no longer the number one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. And you know what's interesting also? Chris, for all the weeks that he's been doing the drink, we talked about this before, he did not have his own Mr. Boston.
That's right. Oh, yes.
And this week, courtesy of Green Building Advisor, a little present came in the mail.
Yeah. My own copy, our own copy
right.
of Mr. Boston's Official Bartender's Guide.
Yes. The perfect red is not in there, by the way.
I know.
Yeah.
I looked, actually.
Did you?
Yeah. But funny, never mind. Yeah. So, so thank you, Green Building Advisor. That's really good. And they said it was for our research.
That's
so I will be researching many, you know, things. Okay.
So again, Pat's company is Revision Heat. Mm-hmm. They're out of Portland, Maine.
And Brewer. Maine,
Brewer.
Right next to Bangor.
Mm-hmm. And today we're going to be talking about biomass
boilers, baby.
Boilers, both gasification log boilers and pellet boilers. And I think it's noteworthy, while we're doing this, there is like 15,000, you know, what, gallons of oil a day pumping into our Gulf, you know. Have you heard about this? There's a leak?
Yes, matter of fact, I have.
Anyway, so there's never been a more poignant point where we've got, you know, people dying from coal mine disasters, people dying from oil disasters, and all of our coasts in jeopardy and, you know, mass hysteria out there. And
we're going to talk about whether wood is an environmentally sustainable option.
Thank you, Pat.
That's a question that's written down here.
Right, that's right. Yeah, we have notes.
People.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It is.
You were saying, you know, we're getting driven back to the land.
So Pat, I'll just turn. Is it green?
Can we just skip the question and move on? Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
Otherwise, we probably wouldn't be talking about it. But let's make the argument, because
I say that facetiously, because it is a valid question, and people think about it. The things to think about when you're thinking about burning wood are... particulate matter,
yeah,
carbon cycle, and something else that I can't remember. nitrates and sulfates.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So in terms of particulate matter, high efficiency European gasification technology, the good boilers and the good stoves bring particulate matter down to a level that's going to be higher than oil or much higher than gas boilers, but still well within any tolerable levels.
So the reason we're actually even considering wood now is because some people that does not spring to the forefront of their mind. I'm going to heat my house with wood. They imagine shoving logs into a fireplace or a wood stove.
Right.
And we're talking about something different here.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about the big box in the basement that we're going to feed a fuel, and we're going to, have distribution, and we're going to actually, heat your house.
Yeah, and that technology is very different from the fireplace, even the wood stoves of the pre-EPA wood stoves. So particulate matter is what causes asthma, and wood stove high-efficiency wood boilers are going to be just slightly higher emissions than their fossil fuel counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
So they lose in that category.
Mm-hmm.
But they crush fossil fuels in the carbon category anywhere from 1/10 to 1/100 the carbon input compared to fossil fuels, depending mm-hmm. on how you get your wood.
Right.
You mm-hmm. can go out into the back of your woods with a wheelbarrow and a handsaw and you have no carbon footprint at all. Or you can get it commercially harvested and you might have a 20th of the carbon dioxide output per unit of fuel. And then the other category is sulfates and nitrates. And in wood has virtually, and those are the things that cause acid rain.
Right.
And burning wood has virtually no sulfur and nitric emissions. So in two out of three categories, wood crushes fossil fuel environmentally. And the other thing we can ask ourselves about is the long-term health of the forest.
Right.
And it depends on where you are is the answer and who's harvesting your wood. In Maine, about 90% of the wood that's harvested now is harvested from some sort of sustainable credentials. And
correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have largely the paper companies to thank for that. But
yeah, FSC certification, Master Logger certification. So there's people looking at how the wood's being harvested.
And this is a great state for this business.
It is. Yeah. And then my question to Pat was, so is it fair to say that the region where you're in depends on whether or not this makes sense?
I'd even say more than that. It's right down to the house. It really depends on how you're harvesting your wood.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got woodland behind your house, it doesn't matter what next, whether the county is devastating its woodlot. If you're sustainably managing your woodlot, mm-hmm. then it's a sustainable solution.
Mm-hmm. But if you're in an urban setting, for instance, it's a different story.
Yeah, I would say it depends on where. We have downtown Portland, 30 miles away, we've got plenty of firewood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I, as an architect, if I have a client comes to me and we're talking about, we have that conversation where we're talking about systems, what should I use, what are the things that would trigger me to say, we should look into wood boilers? Granted, you're a little biased in this.
all times. No, it's
no, but seriously, I mean, there are some cases. There are some perfect houses where this is perfect for them. So,
yeah.
what's
wood is so easy because it all comes down to how much wood do you want to schlep, and if you can, as an architect, if you can work people through the quick and dirty energy demand, so.
Yeah.
You're going to build conventionally, you might be at 50,000 BTUs per square foot per year. So that would be like two cords of wood per square foot per year.
Using a boiler.
Using a high efficiency boiler.
Gotcha.
So if you're going to build a 6,000 square foot house and build it conventionally, you're going to be schlepping 12 cords of wood. Simple question, do you want to schlep 12 cords of wood? For most people, that's going to be no. For some people, they'll say, oh, yeah, absolutely, no problem.
Right.
So then as the architect, you can say, okay, well, if you're going to be, how about a 3,000 square foot house, and we can super insulate it and put, R60 walls and put a heat pump on it, that's one option. But what about a 2,000 square foot house that's modestly insulated
mm-hmm.
that uses three cords of wood a year?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're starting to get, that's in a range where wood boilers don't make a ton of sense in the really, really well-insulated house that you guys build a lot of, because there's just too much mechanical systems for the amount of energy.
And a lot of mass in the boiler. And
a big space in the basement. And
right. Mm-hmm. So it's, but it's good for like the mid-range, we're talking like mid-range houses then, in terms of energy consumption
and size. Decently insulated, I even, when I talk to people about wood boilers, I say, look, if you're going to be putting in a wood boiler, you should probably think about not putting in that HRP. And I know, you know, we can...
No, that's all right.
You don't hit me for that.
No,
we no, no, this yeah, Pat is put a very interesting conversation. I mean, because there's some of the things that we talk about, the metrics that Chris and I have talked about for episodes here.
Mm-hmm.
You do certain things, you add more insulation. But the reality is, if you have 2x6 walls and cellulose insulation, that might be okay. If you've got tons of wood in your backyard, and why spend the extra money in
right.
this case?
Right.
If and you so, don't mind the schlep.
Right. So you take that 2,000 square foot house and you go from okay insulation to really well insulated, and you're talking about 4 cords down to 2 cords.
Right.
4 cords is not a whole lot of wood, right? So
right.
It is a really interesting conversation to have, because 4 cords is, you would need 4 acres of good forest to support that house.
Sustainably
mm-hmm. and forever in Maine.
Right.
That to me is not a bad solution.
And is that a 1-to-1 rule of thumb metric? Is it 4 cords, you'd need 4 acres?
It's a half cord to 1 cord, and depending mostly on soil type. So you take a swamp and you're into the... You can produce about a half a cord a year forever out of your swamp.
Okay, so if we're talking about doing this sustainably, we ask a client, well, how much wood do you have?
Or
how
is there
much
in
land
your
do you have? Or that, I think that's a very helpful metric. I mean,
right.
We talked about rules of thumb that help our listeners here.
Yep.
That's a good one.
And like just a little trivia, you probably know this, Pat, but you know, like back when we were England here in Maine,
mm-hmm.
You know,
I don't remember that.
I don't really remember it. It used to be you'd get 10-acre parcels because that's what was deemed sustainable for your cabin. You could have a small farm, small livestock, small woodlot, 10 acres, off you go. Mm-hmm. And they were circles for weird reasons. We don't have to get into that. But anyway, so it's sort of like, you know, this technology kind of is perfect for that same kind of mindset, in my own opinion. But so, Pat, this is not just throwing wood on a fire. This is a gasification wood boiler.
We should describe it a little bit.
Right. This is a different kind of technology. So first let's talk about what does gasification mean?
Yeah.
And how is this boiler different, and
what does it look like? Where does it sit?
Okay, imagine
physical stats.
Imagine you're a particle of smoke. You've just been liberated from the wood.
Nice.
Did anyone see Lost?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay,
the black smoke.
No. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm with you.
All right.
I'm with
Cheers
you.
To that.
Okay.
Cheers. Yeah.
So you're in a fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
You're a particle of smoke. The heat has just liberated you.
I'm digging it.
If you mix with oxygen and enough heat,
mm-hmm.
you will convert yourself into carbon dioxide and water.
Yeah.
Carbon monoxide.
Mm-hmm.
One of those carbons in water,
mm-hmm.
you'll turn yourself into heat. Your bonds will be broken and you will have created heat. You have to bump into just the right amount of oxygen and just the right amount of heat to make that chemical reaction happen. If you're in a wood stove, you know, without a catalyst and no real good air control, there's a pretty 50-50, it's a pretty marginal chance that that's going to happen. And if
mm-hmm.
it doesn't happen, you go out the chimney of smoke and you never get that heat translated. It turns out that wood is a hard thing to burn because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it also turns out that smoke is a pretty easy thing to burn. So what gasifying boilers do is they take that smoke and they treat that as the fuel. They typically will have 3 chambers. The first chamber is just dedicated to making smoke, and they put just enough air in there to make the wood turn into smoke. They blow that smoke down into a secondary combustion chamber that's surrounded by ceramics.
Right.
And those ceramics keep the combustion really hot. And then they control the amount of oxygen and use a fan to force air into that smoke in just the right conditions to create incredible combustion that happens somewhere around 1500 to 2000 degrees. So now your chances, you're that same particle of smoke in a gasifying wood boiler, you have to go through this gauntlet of oxygen being pumped around through a fan and a ceramic chamber that gets piping red hot. There's a really good chance you're going to get turned into energy. And then you get the heat is extracted through heat exchange tubes. So all gasifying boilers share that common characteristic of a multi-chamber combustion process. The gasifying, the combustion, and the heat extraction.
And is that called fractionation when that happens?
I have no idea.
Okay, moving on. We'll edit that. Sheila, cut that out. Thanks. How are you, Sheila? Oh, now she's waving us on. Moving on. Okay.
Yeah, she didn't want perfect red. She didn't want.
Like, I was surprised.
Me too. Open. I think that it was the size of this, and it's all pure bourbon and alcohol.
But you know, it's a sweet drink. Don't take this wrong, Sheila. But it's surprising that Sheila doesn't like the sweet drinks. I've noticed.
I know. Yeah. All right.
Thumbs up. Yeah.
Okay. So if I've got the so I've decided. All right, I'm a woodlot owner. I don't mind hauling logs down to my basement. I love having this you know system where I'm in control. How often am I putting a log in this thing?
Okay.
I mean, is it every day?
So, the first big decision that clients have to make about wood boilers is if they have thermal storage or not. With thermal storage, the wood boiler heats a big thermal storage tank. It's about 600 gallons to 900 gallons. The ones we use have 4 inches of foam. They're really well insulated.
And how big are they?
They're about 4x4x8. They're like a cord of wood. We call them the cord tanks. They take the same amount of space as a cord.
Cord of wood.
Good. Nothing rolled up.
That's your average house takes that 600 gallon tank. Bigger houses take bigger tanks. So with that kind of system, whenever the tank gets cold, you fire the wood boiler heats the tank heats both the house and the hot water. We like to design our system so the coldest nights in Maine, you're down lighting that boiler twice a day. Most nights in winter, you're firing it once a day. And then as the season warms up, less and less, and it heats all your hot water, you fire it once every 5 to 10 days. You'll go down, fire the boiler, and have all your hot water for a week.
And when you say fire the boiler, you mean actually load it up?
Load it up.
And you press a button.
Match. Right? I actually use match, a propane torch.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you really? So yeah. Really? So you still have that old fashioned? Because you look at these things and it looks more like a, I don't know, like a massive furnace, really, and more technological. So you're actually going over there with a match or blowtorch.
Yep.
Off you go.
And how easy is that? I mean, it's not like making a regular fire. You don't have to sit there and feed it with something and then wait for it to flame. Or do you? Is that how it is?
Yeah, it's a good question. There's different. The newest technology has what's called lambda controls, and the boiler, it's digitally controlled just like your car. Your car is sensing the amount of oxygen in the combustion process, and it's changing how much oxygen is allowed into the pistons. The modern wood boilers do the same thing. They're adjusting how fast the fan blows and how much oxygen is allowed into the primary and secondary combustion chamber. Those take off like a rocket, and you fill it with cordwood. You don't even need kindling, and a few pieces of newspaper, and bam-o, it lights.
Because it's hot, right? It's
like... And it's the fan is so strong and powerful, and it's pulling it through and putting all the air right where it needs to go. It's really amazing.
So do you have to have makeup air for that unit, or in the boiler room? Is that a big cause for?
It usually isn't. Because they're usually in basements, but whenever they're put into a mechanical room, I just did one recently where we had to pipe underground and had a 4-inch pipe that went right from the underground right to where the boiler was. So if they're in small and tight, well-built houses and confined spaces, you have to worry about makeup air.
Gotcha. How about quality of fuel? Like if I'm a guy, does it have to be seasoned cordwood? Or is this more like once the temperatures are up, I can start burning kinds of stuff. I can put pine in
it. It's a good question. Pine's no problem. And if you do the math, a cord of well-seasoned pine has more BTUs than a cord of poorly seasoned oak.
Oh, I see. All right.
Or about the same.
Interesting. Because that's a lot lighter.
Yeah, and people have this predilection against the softwoods, but you go to... I took a trip not long ago to New Brunswick.
Mm-hmm.
And where they only have softwood, guess what they burn? They softwood, only burn softwood, you know?
Well, if it's dry.
And they dry it. Yeah. They cover every single wood pile in Canada was covered. Whereas to get good wood, you need it cut and split and covered by May. May, June at the latest. And then it's ready to burn next September.
Oh, really? Okay. So that's a short season. I mean,
it is, but as long as it's covered and split, the air is moving through it. Ideally, sun's landing on it, but it doesn't have to.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's very interesting because what you're describing is a different process. You have to be the kind of person who's ready and interested in something like this.
Right.
You're not going to make a phone call and have somebody deliver this thing to you. There's active participation.
Right.
You have to know where you're going to get your supply from.
Well, I've had a lot of clients that, you know, are, you know, in this, you know, I'll do it myself and be green kind of a mindset where, you know, they'll take that ownership. You know, they're the people who will travel miles to recycle when can, if that's what it takes.
I mean, yeah. So. Well, I think there's a real trend that's going on right now that we're seeing. You know, I joked and I said the back to the landers before, but it was only a partial joke. There's something about it's something empowering about people who are interested in this type of technology. And said, it's a little more grounding. I'm a little getting closer to the earth here. I'm in control. I've got a little bit more energy and
it's a lifestyle thing.
Yeah,
and I love my clients.
Very appealing to certain people.
My wood boiler clients are some of my favorite clients, because a solar client, you know, there's no lifestyle change. You've decided to write a paycheck, and it's a, you know, you write a check, and it's a good decision, and it can be a difficult one, but it's, you can go about your life as you did before. Your wood boiler clients are committing themselves to twice a day, maybe sometimes once a day in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And in the spring, filling up the woodshed and spending a couple of weekends, they're going to do that. And they're not going to do all the other things that we could do.
So that's it for this part of the episode. Tune in next week for more from the Green Architects Lounge podcast. A quick reminder that our music is Zelda's theme by Perez Prado, and that our views and drinking habits do not necessarily reflect those of the Green Building Advisor. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and keep up the good work.